choosinghats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.
Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is another edition of Peripatetics, number 6 to be precise. It is Sunday morning, February 17th, and I am recording this on the road yet again. I just crossed into Georgia not too long ago, almost into Tennessee, going right up across that top corner. So those of you who have an atlas handy or Google Maps, you can pretty much figure out where I am, I'm sure. This is a hilly stretch. It's not all that boring. I know I've talked about how boring some of the stretches were before. This is actually kind of an interesting one. But if I get too distracted and just kind of trail off, well, you probably know why, because I'm looking at something interesting or whatever. I shouldn't, though. This is probably not going to be all that long. I'm actually recording this for two reasons. One, to respond to some of Frank Turk's further comments via Twitter. Basically, he contacted me after I dropped his name, saying I was going to be responding to him, just as a courtesy to inform him that I was responding to his post. And as he often does, he asks how old I was. I don't really understand how that really has a bearing on what I have to say, but okay. Maybe it just gives him context or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too used to the atheists who, as soon as you say you're young, they just dismiss your comments completely. Or the old crusty Arminians who say, well, if you're young, you don't have anything to say to me, kind of like a Norman Geisler, to James White, but I might just be reading too much into that, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and just assume he was asking for some context of some sort. Asked me what I do for a living, all that good stuff, and I told him I was a truck driver. If he just waited for the podcast, of course, I told him exactly how old I was and how I drove a truck for a living and et cetera. But that's fine. As the conversation progressed, though, he asked me, in a one-sentence summary, what I thought his post was about. And what I said, only sort of facetiously, is that what his first post about was that presuppers need to stick a sock in it when it comes to the abortion debate. And post number two was, oh, I forgot, there's more than one kind of presupp. Now, it was only sort of facetiously, but if you read through the posts, you don't find presuppositionalism defined anywhere, okay? So the only thing we have to go on and what presuppositionalism consists of in the first post is how it describes presuppositionalists. When basically the only description he has is of the how do you know that epistemology freaks who don't know how to do anything else and wouldn't know what to do with it if they tried, and even turned the morality question into how do you know. I don't see what else we're supposed to gather out of that than that's what he thinks presuppositionalism is. In the second post, when he tries to make a distinction between true presuppositionalism, he doesn't really contrast it with anything. He just gives some vague generalities about how they need to present the law and all this, but what it seems like he's talking about is actually evangelism. And like I said in the last edition, he seems to confuse the two quite a bit. When you're doing apologetics, you're not carrying out the work of evangelism. But what he seems to be talking about as true presuppositionalism is evangelism. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the defense of the faith, not the proclamation of the faith. Now, you have to have a clear proclamation before you can make a clear defense. That's a given. But the proclamation is not the defense, and the defense is not the proclamation. It's the defense of the proclamation. So I really don't see how valuable his distinction was in the second post. The greatest issue I had with his responses were, because that's what I took away from the post, then he pretty much just dismissed it as a misunderstanding of what he wrote. The problem is, I'm not sure he understands how what he wrote hangs together. That might sound kind of out there for a second, but just let me explain. He writes a few paragraphs of introduction just to introduce the issue at hand, which is abortion and the questions that come up, and etc. But as soon as he finishes the introductory remarks, he says, before I talk about anything else. And then he introduces presuppositionalism and the whole thing about the Bonson's playbook and putting tape over it and using Van Til's name instead. All of these sort of belittling and just silly remarks about presuppositionalism, as if that can be taken seriously as a characterization of it. But all he really addresses is what anyone who's followed the site for a long time knows, that we consider this to be an immature presuppositionalist, a cage stage presupper who's read a little bit of Bonson and thinks he can take on the world all by himself by just saying, how do you know that? Well, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all as a full-orbed apologetic methodology. And as someone who spent quite a bit of time in the Alpha and Omega chat channel, he should know better. The rest of his post goes back and forth between saying what the presupper supposedly would do and then what he would do in return. But what he does isn't explicitly presuppositional. It's sort of an internal critique, but like I said, he doesn't finish the job. He doesn't go in and take apart their emotionalism. Basically, he just throws brief facts at them and says, now you should change your mind. Well, on what basis are they supposed to change their mind? Has their heart been changed? Because minds don't change without the hearts first, do they? So do we address the fact that they have a moral issue, not just a factual issue? It's really not that clear. But he pointed out the last paragraph of his post that we should meet people where they are, not where we want them to be. But who's that referring to, yet again? Presuppositionalists. So I'm not sure it holds water that really the entire point of the post was to show what we should do when the entire conversation of the post went back and forth between this is what you preceptors do wrong and here's how you do it better. Well, if it's not about presuppositionalists staying out of the conversation, then why do you talk about it all through the entire post and then conclude with the very words that you're telling me are the subject of the post, the point of the entire exercise, are addressed to presuppositionalists? Well, if it's not about preceptors, Frank, who's it about? I don't understand what you're trying to say here if it's not that you had exactly in mind what I said you had in mind. I just don't get anything else out of that. And I understand that maybe that's not the intent that you had, but if what you wrote conveys that, then your intent really isn't especially meaningful given that practically everyone who's read it that's a presupper, especially the ones that I've talked to, say that you're just misrepresenting precept there. I don't know what else you want us to take out of it except that you've misrepresented precept and you want us to just grin and take it and then put a sock in it on top of it. I really don't know. I don't know what he wants. It's kind of odd to me, to be honest with you. I understand that apparently he thinks that wasn't the point, but that's the point practically every presupper that I've come in contact with thinks is the point. So whether that was his intent or not, that was what he accomplished. And in his clarifications, well, it's only really a clarification if you expand on something you already said. But if you introduce an entirely new category, this true presuppositionalism, and then you explain it to our eyes looks like evangelism and say that's true presuppositionalism, it just serves to further confuse the issue, not clarify it, I think. He talks about people's hair being on fire. Well, like I said, I think their hair is on fire because whatever you intended, you didn't accomplish it. You didn't accomplish it at all. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I mean, I don't know what else he wants us to take away from it other than that meeting them where they are consists of something other than presuppositionalism. Then the true presuppositionalism, according to a second post, is essentially evangelism, and then any talk about sin and et cetera after that isn't appropriate. I don't know what that whole discussion was even intended to convey, because I don't even know what position he's even trying to address, because it doesn't look anything like mine at all. So I don't know who he's talking to or what he thinks he's talking to, but it doesn't resemble anything that we're familiar with, so it's kind of hard to tell at that point. In any case, that's about all I can say there. I am now entering Tennessee, and with a big line of trucks coming in on Highway 24, and probably going to merge with I-40 before too long. And then we have the obligatory 55-mile-per-hour speed zone for trucks that Tennessee has in all of its major cities, which is lovely and wonderful and amazing. So, yippee-doo-dah. And with that badly done, transition, talk about something else. I was actually having an exchange in the Association of Evangelical Apologists page, or group, whatever it is. And we're talking about Scott Oliphant being invited to some national conference of some sort. But the gentleman there was surprised that we would consider evidentialism sinful. It's apparent at that point that he doesn't know a whole lot about presuppositionalism, because that's pretty much Bonson and Vanzel's main point when speaking to the subject, is that it is sinful and it needs to be repented of and done in a matter that is God glorifying instead of God dishonoring. As Van Til says, would God be glorified by saying that he probably exists? That's a paraphrase, but that's the general idea. So this young man's surprise was interesting in one respect, but it's not surprising as far as unexpected. This is something that a lot of people have a problem with, mostly because they're just not familiar with the methodology. He has another question for me. I haven't had the chance to read it yet. I just saw it pop up just a little bit ago on my phone. I'm going to respond to that when I get the chance here, but obviously I can't while I'm on the road. And I'm in traffic, so I'm not even going to try and bring it up so I can read it and respond to it. But again, it's just not surprising that a presuppositionalist would say that evidentialism is sinful, or that any methodology that recognizes the autonomy of man would be considered as sinful, because after all, that was the first sin, did God really say? There's quite a full explanation of that on various places in the site, why that connects there. But we make that explicit connection of the so-called autonomous man essentially saying that did God really say? It also has an echo in Romans 9, where Paul says, "Who are you, O man?" To talk back to God. It's the exact same issue at hand. When we give man the right to judge, we take God off the throne and put man on it. That's essentially the issue at hand. I don't really have any more handy segs or even badly done segs to work into here. I do want to get into the Point of Contact podcast that we've spoken of doing before. I'm going to try to get that working on Tuesday. We'll see how it works. We've had talk of perhaps podcasting this so we can do live with call-in segments, stuff like that. The reason we haven't done so yet is because as I'm going down the road in my off period, there is the gaps between the cell towers, and as I go through, Skype often cannot keep a solid connection consistently in between all those cell tower jumps. If I roam, if I go off of my carrier's towers, it jumps off into a... It doesn't hand off the data connection well. It'll go to zero bars and come right back up, but that's the death knell for Skype because it needs a steady connection of at least a couple bars to stay connected. So what I did, I got a signal booster that I have been trying out. It doesn't work perfectly, but it does mitigate some of the effects. I'll still probably have to judge the times and the times and the places that I'm able to do live interaction because I'm just not sure between this 30 miles and that 30 miles whether I'm going to have a solid connection or not. I just don't have any way of knowing. So when I get into hilly area, like I'm in Tennessee right now, while I'm driving down the road, it would be very difficult for me to keep a steady connection all the way through, say, even a half an hour show using just my cell phone with no booster. With the booster, I might be able to, but I don't know yet. So we're probably going to try that again soon. Apologize for the wait and hyping it up because I honestly thought I could do it because when I get on Skype with my wife, it's just me and her, and I think the connection, it wasn't as sorely tested. The other thing, when we did our test, it was mistakenly started as a video call, which just burns your connection up. So my poor little 3G just couldn't handle it. So we will see what we can solve as far as technology, and we will try again in the next week or two. I'm not going to give any promises as to when. I'm going to try and get this podcast up for tomorrow, but we'll just have to see how my evening goes because I'm actually running out of drive hours, and I have a delivery about an hour and a half before the end of it, so I have no idea if I'll even be able to get online tonight because I'm in Tennessee, and sometimes you just got to stop where you got to stop. And if it's in an area with no signal, well, I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of anything tonight except sleeping. So, in any case, I hope this found you well. I hope you had a good day in worship at church, and I pray that you will continue to study the truths of God, and that we would have a valuable next time together. This is Joshua Whips with Peripatetic, signing off.
ChoosingHats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.